right. Let us move into our prayer over this preaching moment. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, praise you, love you, honor you, appreciate you for all that you are and all that you mean. God, we ask that you would bless, touch, heal, and deliver. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on with your Bibles in your hands. Repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. If you believe you're going to be fed, go ahead and make some noise this morning. Let's start off with the title for today, and it is simply this: forget not. Somebody say, forget not. And what I mean when I say forget not and what we're working with is I was thinking about the actual holiday, Memorial Day, and what it means to have a memory and to remember something. And the opposite of remembering is forgetting. And it's important in our context that we forget not the things that God has done for us. So let's give us a definition of that, and they'll put it up. And forget, it's a couple ways to look at it. One, it means fail to remember. Fail to remember. And then there's two ways that that works. Number one, it's an inadvertently neglect to bring or mention something. Neglect to do, bring, or mention something. So any of you ever had the moment in your life where you just went somewhere, let's say in your house? Like for me, I'll go upstairs and then I forget why I went upstairs. I guess I'm the only one that ever happened to. So that is inadvertent. That just comes with age. It comes with stress. It comes with our minds. That's not what I'm talking about, because we all are human and we will forget. Forget your keys. Forget your wallet. Forget your exit when you're driving. All those things are human. But what I'm talking about, and she's going to put it up for us, is this: putting out of one's mind or cease to think of or consider. Go ahead and flash that up for us. This is what I'm talking about: purposely putting something out of your mind so that you don't think of it, you don't consider it anymore, that you purposely put it out of your mind. All right, I'm going to see if I can give an example, and pray for me. So a friend of mine, I've seen them make a post today. They're a therapist, a good friend of mine, and they're struggling with some grief, someone that died unexpectedly. And of course, my heart goes out because we understand that pain. And so in the process of it, she mentions of the possibility, and she's a pastor's wife, she mentions the possibility of being upset with God. So when people die unexpectedly, especially if you prayed for them, there's a certain sense that you get a little bit kind of bothered by how God moves and how God works. And because he's God, he's got the right to do things how he wants to do things. He has a right to heal or not heal. Everything's not going to go the way we want it to go. But in the process, there's usually a challenge in our mind to go ahead and forget God because I'm upset with God. And what this is telling us is to not put his goodness out of your mind just because you're dealing with a bad situation. You've been diagnosed with something that you never thought you'd be diagnosed with. And so it's a temptation to say, forget it. Forget it. Forget church. Forget God. Forget you. Forget everything and everybody. But I'm challenging you not to do that. To instead remember his goodness. Remember his hand. And remember his work in your life. Let me say that again. Remember his goodness. Remember his hand. And remember his work in your life. I'm going to give us a scripture. I'm going to read it. And then we're going to move on. Psalms 103, 1 through 2. Psalms verse 1 says it this way. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Those of you who know this song, that song is ringing in my spirit. Bless his holy name. Verse 2 says this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not all his benefits. So when things are negatively happening to you, you have a tendency to forget his benefits. In other words, you have a tendency to forget what he's already done. While you're sitting at the funeral, upset with God, you forget the fact that you're still living. You're still breathing. While even though you're crying. So you have to remember that. You can't forget that. You have to focus on that. All right. So what can I say to help us? On my job, I have benefits. Some of you have benefits. Have you ever met somebody who forgot their benefits? Let me see if I can bring it to something you can understand. I knew somebody who worked with me, and their teeth was all jacked up. And I'm thinking, we have dental benefits. Evidently, you must have forgotten that we have benefits. Because you wouldn't be walking around looking like this. You would have gone to the dentist, but sometimes people just forget. But it could be to their detriment to forget the benefits that you have. Some people haven't gone to the doctor in a long time. They forgot you got benefits. Let me talk about myself. Lately, I've been squinting. And I've been looking and squinting. And I forgot all I got to do is sign up to go to the eye doctor because I have benefits. So when you forget the benefits, who do you hurt? You hurt your own self. All right, so let's put this up. Remember God so God can remember you. Oh, Lord, here it is. Remember God so God can remember you. God has never forgotten you, but the more you remember him, the more it allows him to be able to remember you. In other words, the more you put him as a priority, the better it is and easier it is for him to prioritize you. Many times we want God to remember us, but we have a tendency to forget him. So if you want God to remember you, then you ought to make an effort to remember him, to make sure no matter what's going on, you don't put it out of your mind how good he's been to you. Let's look at Joshua 4.
The 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day.
So there's two major things that happens in the scripture with water. There's one with Moses and the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea. But when it came time to go in the Promised Land, the children of Israel under Joshua, they had to cross the Jordan River. And God did a miraculous thing and allowed them to cross over the Jordan River. But then he said, I want you to get some stones. And I want you to get them for each tribe, and I want you to set up a memorial to remind the people coming after you that God has been good to you. And so in this Memorial Day weekend, when I ask you to forget not, I'm saying make mental markers in your mind of what God has done for you. You may have to do something. You may have to take a picture. You may have to write something down. You may have to document. What I do with my phone, I have what I call seed assignments. And my seed assignments are things that I want God to do for me. And so they're prayer requests. Not every prayer request has been answered. But when something is answered, what I do is I document it and I date the time it was answered. So it reminds me that even though God hasn't answered everything, I can't act like he hasn't answered some things. So I go back and look at it. And sometimes when I look at it, I'm like, wow, I forgot you did that when you did it. Sometimes when I'm working on like a vehicle, a lot of times if I have a certain vehicle in mind, I'll write down what it is and how I want it. And then I'll go back and look like, man, I can look back at the last three Cadillacs I've driven and realize that I wrote it down and I can mark where God blessed me and done it for me. What it's doing is I'm trying to infect my memory, because what happens is new problems make you forget an old God. Let me say that again. New problems will make you forget an old God. In other words, you'll forget what God has already done when you run into something brand new. So sometimes you have to make a memory. Now let me back off of the God thing for a second and let me just talk to you about life. When you spend money, it is not good to spend money frivolously. But what real wealthy people know, if you're going to build wealth, one of the things that you can do is spend money on memories. See, your kids, when you buy a whole bunch of gifts on Christmas, a lot of times by February they done forgot what you bought them. But when you help them make memories, they remember those things forever. So if you're going to spend money on things that are memorable, not things that are just thrown away, things that you can remember, because your memory is important. And those things can get you through. When you're in a bad season, a good memory can help you out. That's why it's good to be good to people while you're living. That way, when you do die and they're grieving you, a good memory of you can come back to them. Yes, I miss my father, but I have a lot of good memories of him, and that helps me move forward, because memories are important. So as we move into Memorial Day, I want us to think about forgetting not. So let's look at this. Five things to remember so we will forget not. Five things that we can remember from the scripture. Let us start off with number one, which I've already kind of referenced, is as it relates to wealth. There's nothing wrong with having wealth, and people act like the poorer you are, the more spiritual you are. That's not true. There's nothing wrong with wealth, and there's nothing wrong with trying to build generational wealth for the next generation. There's nothing wrong with that. Let's look at how the scripture says it, but there is a caveat to this wealth. And this is what the scripture says, Deuteronomy 8, verse 17. Read that, mother.
You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me.
The problem with wealth is forgetting how you got it. The problem with wealth is forgetting the person who brought you to this wealth. And so we're going to look at the next verse. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. In other words, when there's nothing wrong with the wealth, but when you get the wealth, don't forget God when you get the wealth. And that's a problem that a lot of us have, is we pray for stuff, and when God gives us the stuff, we use the stuff to forget the God that we prayed for the stuff. God, I want a woman, but when God gives you the woman, you and the woman won't come to church. God, I want a car, but when God gives you the car, you don't have time for God and the car. So God don't mind you having stuff. He minds stuff having you. So you can't forget. So you got to make up in your mind and tell God ahead of time, if you bless me, I won't forget you. If you turn it around for me, I will remember you. I will put you in remembrance. I will make sure to remember you. I will remind myself to thank you for what I have while I have it. I won't wait until I'm praying for something new to thank you for what I have. I thank you for what I have, even when it gets old, even when it's not new anymore. Even when the new car is no longer there and it no longer smells like it used to smell, I can still, when I'm going to and say, God, I thank you for a vehicle and vehicles. I thank you for a roof over my head. I thank you for clothes on my back. I thank you for my kids and my wife. I thank you for my husband, my spouse. I thank you for my church. I thank you for my pastor. I thank you for the church mothers. In other words, having an attitude of gratitude to say, God, if you bless me, I won't forget you. And then what you're saying is, I deserve to have some wealth because I'm going to remember you. Let's look at what verse 19 says. Here's the flip side.
If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed.
So I'm trying to warn you, children of Israel, if you forget me, it's going to hurt you. In other words, God is saying, I'm not asking you to remember me for me. I'm asking you to remember me for you, because if you forget me, it's not going to go well for you. And if you know the story, they got into the promised land and they start serving other gods, and it didn't go too well for them. Now we're going to look at Isaiah 43 and 22.
Yet you did not call upon me, O Jacob, but you have been weary of me, O Israel.
Oh, you got the stuff and you didn't even call on me. Not only did you not call on me, you got tired of me. Oh, shoot, I don't feel like going to church today. That's all right. Everybody need a day off. But you done took 6 months off. You done took 8 months off, 9 months off. And there's always something coming up. And we're not asking you to be here all the time. Enjoy yourself. Go on vacation. Go somewhere. But don't forget God in the process. And it shouldn't be the higher you go, the less you think of him. It should be the higher you go, the closer you get to him. Yes. Whenever I'm up in the plane, I'm in the clouds, I think about God, you're good. I look out over the nature. Yes. I'm blessed to be up here in the plane. But God, I thank you. I'm not just praying to you to get me up in the plane and get me back down. But I'm thanking you for everything that I see. And there's times when I can't travel because I'm working. I don't have time to go on vacation because I got bills to pay. So you know what I do? Sometimes I just thank God for the morning sun right in Muncie, yeah. Indiana. I look up and I see the beautiful sun. Every now and then, the sky will be painted with red, purple, and yellow right here in this city. Don't have to go to the ocean. I don't have to go to the mountains. Right here, I can look up and say, God, I thank you. Never get the mindset that your wealth should make you forget your God. Sometimes God has to keep some folk broke just so they'll spend time with him. Don't let that be you. God, I can handle wealth and still remember you. Let's move on.
You have not brought me your sheep for burnt offerings or honored me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with offering or wearied you with frankincense.
You got all this wealth and you forgot the church house. You forgot to bring an offering. You forgot to pay tithes. You forgot when they said, well, we're working on this project. Oh, you said, oh, they can do it without me. They always begging. And then God said, actually, I ain't really asked you for nothing. I sent you to a place they don't even ask you for 2, 3, 4, 5 offerings. They don't call you and beg you for stuff. They only ask you for offering one time, and you can't even do that. You've got it twisted. What I've given you is not always just for you. I've given it to you so you can be a blessing. You're really supposed to be a distribution center. I put it in you, and you distribute it out. Yes, you keep some for you, but you weren't supposed to heap it all on you. You're supposed to remember me in the process. All right, next verse says what?
You have not brought me sweet cane with money or satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices, but you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities.
It's one thing if you took the money and you just didn't give me any of it, you didn't bless the church, but you took the money and got to sinning with it. You got to really cutting up with it. You was a faithful husband, and you got money. Now you got 7 girlfriends all over different area codes. But God is like, why would I bless you if you're going to just turn and act the fool on me? And then you won't even bless it. You won't do any of that. So we don't want you to be that type of person. I know you're not, but I'm bringing it up for a reason, because some of y'all are going to move into a wealthy place. And so I'm warning you ahead of time that there are traps that come with the wealthy mindset. What money is a magnifier. So whatever you are right now, money will magnify. So if you a fool right now, money will make you have the possibility to be a bigger and a badder fool. So you got to be very, very careful. There's somebody right now sitting in a trial in New York because the money went to their head. You got to be very careful so you don't forget God in the process. All right, let's look at verse 25.
I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins.
He said, I'm asking you to remember me because I'm planning on not remembering your sins. If anybody can remember something, if anybody can hold a grudge, it's God. But God's saying, I want you to remember me because I'm planning on not remembering none of your junk, none of your stuff. I'm just that good. Let's look at verse 26.
Put me in remembrance. Let us argue together. Set forth your case that you may be proved right.
He said, actually, put me in remembrance. In other words, if you do the right thing, I plan on remembering you. So remember me so that I can remember you. All right, now we're going to go on and we'll get off of wealth in just a second. Acts 10, 1 through 4. I'll read this. It says, at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion, in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, your prayer and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. So this is y'all. The other people I was talking about who act a fool when they get money, that ain't y'all. I'm talking to y'all right now. The scripture says Cornelius have been given generously, have been given to the poor. And what God says, his gifts has come up as a memorial before the Lord. So let me give you just a little context. Memorial Day, which we will go into tomorrow, was actually, it started after the Civil War. After the Civil War had ended, there was a general who had thought about all the fallen soldiers, and they called it Decoration Day. It was a day to decorate the graves of all the fallen soldiers. So when somebody would go to a cemetery and they would see the decorated grave, they would know this was a fallen soldier. Later on, it became known as Memorial Day. 1971, it was instituted as a federal holiday in 1971, but the process started back into 1830s after the Civil War. So basically what I'm saying is that you are decorated before God because of your giving. In other words, he looks out over the world and he sees you decorated because of all the generosity you've given. All the time, not only have you given your money, but you've given your time. You've helped the poor. You prayed for the sick. You prayed for the grieving. You cried for the ones that was weeping. God says, I'm looking and I'm watching. And the devil's saying, God don't care that you done turned down overtime to come to church. God don't care. I'm here to let you know God does care and he sees, but he's allowing you to build up a memorial before him. And on his memorial day, which means the day he plans on blessing you, he's going to turn and he's going to shower you with blessings. And this is what's going to happen. People are going to get mad at you and they're going to be jealous of your blessing, but they don't know what you did to get what you got. So don't let somebody talk about what you got, because they don't know God has looked down on you and seen your memory has come up before him. And he said, now it's time to bless my people. All right, so that's the wealth. And let's move on to this one, number two. Number two is the ways. So the ways. So we are remembering God in through our wealth, but we're remembering God in our ways and in his ways. Mother Mitchell, read this, Psalms 25.
Remember, 6. Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old.
All right.
Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good.
Oh, God, I've got some ways that haven't always been holy. Even though I'm saved right now, when I walk out the door, sometimes I have days out there that are not always so holy, that are not always so righteous. But God, you don't remember my sin and you don't remember my rebellious ways. You remember the goodness that I've done. So I just told you that God looks down on the good that you've done and blesses you for the good that you've done. But here's the thing. He can also punish you for the bad that you've done. But because he's so good, he wipes out the bad and only remembers the good. So guess what? Since God doesn't remember our rebellious ways, we ought to remember his good ways. We ought to thank God. And the reason why I come to church is not just because I want people to see me. The reason why I come to church is because he's done wiped out some stuff y'all don't know about. He done got me out some stuff that y'all don't know about. He done fixed some stuff that y'all don't know about. God been good to me. So I come to say thank you, God. Because here's the thing. If God wanted to expose all of us, we could have to close the doors and shut the doors. Well, Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about because I ain't never really done nothing. I'm not talking about just what you done, what you thought about doing. See, there's some stuff you didn't do, but it was in your mind to do. God can catch you up for what you did and what you thought about doing, what stuff you dreamed about doing. God can get us for all that stuff, but he's so good and he's so kind. He don't remember our rebellious ways. And some of us, because we had deliverance, but it ain't what I thought about, Pastor. It's what I did. I done some stuff, but God done covered some of the stuff I've done. He's washed me. So guess what? I remember his ways for forgetting my ways. In the context of a marriage, me and my wife married 25 years. In the 25 years, there's some things we have done to each other that was not lovely, that was not marital, that wasn't right. There's some things we've said to each other that wasn't altogether lovely. But in order for us to be married 25 years, we got to forget some of that stuff in order to move on. But here's the thing. God has forgotten more about me than I even remember. There's some sins I done to God that I forgot that God could remind me on. He could call me on the carpet about, but he's so good, he doesn't remember our stuff. So guess what? Why would I forget a God who could be holding stuff over me and chooses not to remember? So I'm always going to remember him. Let's move on. We're going to do these two together. Number three is works. Number four is wonders. I'll say it again. Number three is works. Number four is wonders. So we have the wealth, the ways, now the works and the wonders. Let's look at Psalms 105:5. Read that.
Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth.
I'm going to remember his works and his wonders. If I can't remember of just what he's done for me, then I'll remember what he did for you. And if I can't find something God did for me and did for you, then I'll go to the scripture and look at what he did for them. I've got so many references of his works and his wonders, from his ways, his works and his wonders, from his wealth, his ways, his works and his wonders. So guess what? I am going to put that in remembrance. I'm going to put it in my mind. I'm going to think on these things. Remember, the scripture in Philippians tells us to think on these things. Here's the thing. Saints, there's a lot of negative things that happen. You could focus on the negative or you could focus on all the positive. And if you really took time to focus on the positive, you will see that the old songwriter said, my good days outweigh my bad days, so I won't complain. Not that I can't complain, but I choose not to complain, because when I look back over my life, my good days outweigh my bad days, because you've got works and you've got wonders. God has been wonderful and God has been working. He's been working on my behalf. He's working even when I'm not working. Even when I'm not praying, I've seen God answer stuff when I stop praying. When I thought God was not going to answer me, I just stopped and said, okay, well, ain't no need me praying for that anymore. And the next thing you know, God brings it to pass. Oh, God, you were still working when I was ready to quit, when I was ready to give up. Yes, you see me full of faith on Sunday morning, but that's not always how I feel. By the time I get here on Sunday morning, I'm ready to go. But that's not always how I feel. Catch me sometimes on a Thursday afternoon where life is just battering me. And after I done worked an 8-hour shift and stuff done got on my nerves. And then I come home and stuff is falling apart. And sometimes I don't feel like getting ready to preach the word of God. But God is still good to me. And he still shows up and he still makes a way. And he still turns things around. And by the time Sunday morning rolls around, I got faith yet again. I'm ready to go at it yet again. And it's not because of me. It's because of him. So guess what? I'm going to remember it. So now it's taught me that when I have those moments on a Thursday, that I have to actively put him in my mind. I have to actively remember him. That's why I actively try to learn scripture so that I can quote those scriptures when I'm going through hard times. That's why sometimes I got to turn Netflix off and make sure I'm reading the word of God, because God's been too good to me for me not to spend time with him. Yes. All right. So let's say this. Me and Devin has been married 25 years, but in the 25 years we've been married, we've only spent 25 minutes together. Real intimate time. That's a marriage that is phony and fake. In order for you to have intimacy, you have to spend some quality time together. And if you have to spend quality time with humans, you're going to have to spend quality time with God. So remember the one that has remembered you. Guess what? When everybody counted you out, there was one person that didn't count you out. So don't forget about God, whatever you do. All right, let's go ahead and look at Psalms 77, verse 11.
But then I recall all you have done. Oh, Lord, I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago.
Then I recall. Sometimes you have to recall and think about stuff done long ago. Sometimes life can be struggling for the moment. And so you're going to have to go back and look back over your life. That's why I like the song that says, when I look back over my life, I got a testimony. Because your immediate situation will make you forget what he's done a long time ago. I remember one time thinking about something. I think I was thinking about something going on in my house. Like I said before, I can't remember. It was a couple things had broke down and I was just kind of frustrated. Especially when you haven't planned for it. One thing about home ownership is when stuff start messing up, you got to pay for it right then. But I begin to praise God because I had to take another thought. I had to recall something, that this is my second house. My other house where my wife runs the daycare out of, I have that too. And so when I look at my net worth is pretty good because I have equity in two homes. So I was getting ready to complain about what's going on in one home, and I had to pause and think back over my life. Wait a second. God's allowed me to have two. So don't just focus on what's going wrong. Think about what's happening over your life. Let me pause and bring some more context to it. So before a lady, Devin and I got married, we got married in March of 2000. It was 1999, and I did not have a place for us to stay yet. And a church member who I thought was my friend began to tell me that I didn't know what I was doing, and ain't no need for me trying to have no woman if I couldn't provide a place for her to live, because up until that, I was still staying with my mother and father because they was allowing me to do it. And so they thought I was just being lazy, but I was trying to wait on God. And what they said, it hurt my feelings. Guess what? Sometimes your friends and your church friends will hurt your feelings. Amen. But I was trusting God. And then in the close of 99, I found a place for us to stay, but it was a rental place. And so we moved into that rental place in 2000. But in 2002, I was able to buy my first home only 2 years into marriage. And we still have that home now. Now, as I thought about it later on, the very friend that was talking about me is still renting. 15, 20 years later, they still renting. You got to be careful allowing people to talk you out of your blessing. So now that I'm in my other house, I thought about all those things, how a person tried to discourage me, but God turned things around. And it's funny, when people discourage you, they don't come back and tell you, I'm sorry sometimes. They don't come back and say, you know, I was wrong. You was right. Sometimes you just got to let people talk and you just got to trust the Lord. So why would I in my new place, because I'm having some new trouble, forget about what God has done for 20 plus years. Remember his works and his wonders in your life. I'm not just talking about what he done for the pastor. I'm talking about go look in the mirror and look at what he's done for you. The job you have, somebody else got fired at the same job you got. Somebody else quit the same job you got. Yes, it's been hard to go, but at least you got a place to go. Somebody else would wish to trade places with you. So don't forget what God has done. All right, next verse, verse 12. This is what he says.
They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works.
First he said, I recall it, which means at first it wasn't in my mind. I had to recall and I had to put it there. But once I put it there, now it's constantly in my mind that God is good. It's constantly in my mind. That's why when somebody says God is good, I shout all the time. And when somebody says all the time, I say God is good, because now I'm consistently and constantly thinking about his goodness. And the more I think about his goodness, the more I realize I don't have a reason to complain. So sometimes when I'm on my job and I done clocked in, people say, how you doing? I say, I can't complain. And the reason why I'm saying that, because I'm constantly thinking about his goodness. Oh, God, you brought me out of this. God, you did this. God, you did this. Next time you go and you eat a steak, remind yourself of when you can only eat Lunchables. Next time you walk into the store and you can buy it off the rack, remind yourself how you had to put it on layaway. Next time you lay down in a hotel room, remind yourself how you couldn't make ends meet. Constantly keep it in your mind that even though life can be rough, God has always been good. Yeah. All right, verse 13.
Oh God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you?
Basically, what I'm saying is you got to learn how to have a praise break at your house by yourself. Don't wait to church to have a praise break. Don't wait to video praise. Don't look for Kirk Franklin and don't look for Hezekiah Walker, but look for yourself and give God praise. Praise him through the struggle. Praise him through the trouble. Praise him through the aches and the pains. Praise him through the heartache. Find a reason to praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I look at my dog at my house and I look at how, especially when I'm eating, boy, he runs up and gets real close to wherever I'm eating. And I tell him, go, get out of my face. You ain't getting nothing. He'll run, then he'll come around the corner and he'll just be looking. Because in his mind is, you're going to drop something. A crumb is going to fall somewhere. And if I drop a crumb, he'll run and get it. In other words, me telling him to get out of my face don't mean nothing to him, because what he knows is somehow you're going to provide for me, whether you do it on purpose or do it accidentally, you're going to give me what I want. And so he be wagging his tail while I'm eating. He getting excited while I'm eating. All the time I'm telling him, no, get out of my face. But guess what? Every now and then, I just throw something on over there. Drop something off at him, because he's just trusting and believing. Well, guess what? If a dog can trust in his owner, you can trust in your God. God, you might just drop a crumb. You might just drop a blessing. You might just heal my body. Yeah, yes, I'm taking medicine today. Yes, I got muscle relaxers today. But you might just heal my body. So I'm trusting you just in case. Because of your works and your wonders. Let's read this next verse.
You are the God of great wonders. You demonstrate your awesome power among the nations.
This is something else that's important. A lot of times what he does is not really about us. It's about proving to the nations that he's a great God. So sometimes God is planning on blessing you to put you on display to show everybody what I can do. That's why sometimes God get the folk that everybody done talked about. He get the folk everybody done lied on. He get the folk that been like, ooh, I tell you what, ain't no way she gonna get a man. Ain't no way he gonna get a husband. Ain't no way they gonna ever stop smoking dope. Sometimes God gets those people so he can put them on display so everybody will want what they have. See, many of us understand that we know this, even though the malls are dying and going out. But one thing that we used to like about the malls is the ability to window shop. That when you would walk through the mall, each store would have a window. And sometimes they would put the mannequin in the window and have it dressed to let you know what it possibly could be, what it might look if you would put it on. Since I'm a suit enjoyer, when I go to the suit store, they have a mannequin dressed with the tie, the shirt, they have the suit, the shoes. It gives me a picture of what God or what it possibly might look if I was able to get it. So what God wants you to do, he wants to make you the mannequin. He wants to show the world what I can do if you might trust in me. The problem with a lot of us, and I'm going to do this example, we the mannequin and we keep trying to get out of stuff, take stuff off. No, God said, no, I want to put it on you because I want to show the world what I can do with a regular person. See, if God does it with Bill Gates, they'll say it's because he's Bill Gates. If God does it with LeBron James, they'll say it's because it's LeBron James. But if God does it at Deliverance Temple, then folk will know it's got to be a God. Because I counted them out. I didn't think they was about nothing. But if God will do it with the lowly of us, he's trying to show the nations what I'm able to do. But in order for him to show the nations, we got to allow it. So sometimes that means sometimes we got to go down in order to go up. We don't mind going up. The process we don't like is the going down part. Those of you who are gardeners, and you are working on your garden right now in this season, you got to break up the fallow ground. But when you put the seed in the ground, it grows down to get roots before it sprouts up. And many of you, you have been growing down, and it looks like that things are not ever going to work for you. But I'm telling you, you are catching root. There's an old Mary J. Blige song that says, I'm going down. I'm going down. Some of y'all, I'm saying the same thing. It looks like you going down, and you are, but you're not going down to stay down. You're going down to come up. You're going down to catch root and spring forth. And then everybody's going to look at you when you bloom and talk about how beautiful you are, but they don't know how much dirt you had to go through. They don't know how much fertilizer, which is manure, which is, excuse my French, crap. They don't know how much crap you had to take to be who you are. But I'm telling you, baby, shine, because you've grown down so you can sprout up. All right, that brings us to number five, the fifth one. And the fifth one is the words. So this is the reason why you come to the house of God, so you can hear the words of God to help your spirit. Let's look at what 1 Chronicles 16 and 15 says. Read that.
Remember his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations.
So what's going to help you while you're growing down is you're going to have to remember his word. Because his word is what's going to help you. Because when you're struggling and the pains hit you, it's that by his stripes, I am healed. It's the word that's going to get you. It's I'm blessed when I come. I'm blessed when I'm gone. I'm the head. I'm not the tail. No weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. What shall separate me from the love of God that's in Christ? It's the word that's embedded in your heart, embedded in your soul. I promise you, it'll keep you when you just feel like throwing in the towel. Somehow that word it'll just rise up in you. And if you spent some time in the word of God, whether you're listening to it or you're studying it, it'll pop up in just odd times when you haven't even thought about it. You'll hear things like, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up the everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? He's the Lord strong and mighty. He's the Lord mighty in battle. Things like that. It'll just ring in your spirit. It'll go off like a shotgun in your spirit, and it'll give you hope in dark times. David, who we listen to and reread a lot, sometimes our favorite verses of David, David was writing them in a cave. He wasn't writing them on the throne. He was writing them in the cave. He was writing, running from Saul, who was his father-in-law, trying to kill him. But he wrote these words under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And even not just words, some of the songs that we sing, sometimes the songwriter wrote them under duress so that you can grab hold of those things. And in your dark time, it will bring you out. And the song that came out is a song we call Great Is Thy Faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness. You would think he wrote that happy and dancing. He wrote that in a rough time, because sometimes it is rough times that gives us great revelation. And so what you've got to learn how to do is you got to learn how to hold on to his word in the rough time. You got to sing songs of Zion in the rough time. They said to the people who were being carried off to Babylon, the psalmist said, "Why? How can we sing when we're in a strange land? How can I praise you, God? How can I hold on to your word when I'm going through, when I'm divorced, when I got debt, when I got trouble?" But there's an old saying, and Bishop Mitchell was one of the first person I said it. He said, they still should have sang. In other words, you got to sing even when it's hurting. You got to sing when it's raining. You got to sing when you're crying. You got to sing when you're losing. What are you going to sing? You're going to sing the word that you heard. You got to sing the word of God, that as the deer panted for the water, so my soul longs after thee. And it's coming down, down, down. Coming down, down, down. The glory of the Lord is coming down. When the saints begin to pray, let the Lord have his way. The glory of the Lord is coming down. Now, these are old songs. Some of you new people who don't know these old songs, you got to think about the new songs. Even though I hurt, see, I smile. You got to sing the new song. Whatever you got to do, you got to have the word of God. Whether you quote it, whether you hear it, whether you sing it, you need the word of God to bounce you back, to bring you up, because the devil is trying to wear you down. The scripture says he's trying to wear out the patience of the saints. He's trying to make you quit. He's trying to make you throw in the towel. He's trying to make you say, I can't do it anymore. He's trying to make you forget. But God sent me on this Memorial Day weekend to tell you, forget not. Trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. And 99 and a half won't do. I'm going to hold on to his word until things change, until things shift. And if nothing else, I'm going to make the devil so mad, because when he's looking for me to fail, he's going to find me praising the Lord. When he's looking for me to fall, he's going to find me reading the word. This is not in my notes, but let me go ahead and read it, because I've already referenced it. I just opened the Bible a few minutes ago. I've been playing with this Bible the whole time I've been preaching, but it fell on Lamentations, and I already know where to go. When I look at Lamentations 3, and when I look around the 19th verse, it says this: remembering mine affliction and misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance, which is, I've been talking about remembering, and God led me right here. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. Then he says, is this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Now, I was just telling you about the songwriter who wrote a song called Great Is Thy Faithfulness, and I accidentally opened myself up to the Bible and found the very verse that the song was talking about, because the word is so strong. The word knows what you're going to get into before you get into it. And you shouldn't do it all the time, but every now and then get you a physical Bible and just open it up and see where it lands, and you'll find God talking to you from the pages, because his word is alive. His word is a champion. His word is victorious. His word has never fallen. The Bible says the earth shall pass away, but his word will never fail. That's why we're still standing, because we're standing on the word. Somebody say this. Say, there's life
in the word.
Let's look at Psalms 119 and 16. This is one of the greatest chapters about the Bible in the Bible. Read it.
I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word.
I will not forget thy word. Well, Pastor Andre, I don't have as many scriptures memorized as you do. Well, just get you two or three and hold on to them. And when the devil comes, just keep saying them over and over and over. The word has strength. Guess what? I've got a 9mm out there in my car, and I got two 15-round clips, but I only need one bullet to do what I need to do. Sometimes all you need is one verse to stand on, one verse to hold on. One word from God will change your situation. Don't forget the word. All right, Psalms 105:8. This is our last verse.
He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generation.
Here's the thing. This is the reason why we want to not forget, because he still remembers. Even if he hasn't done it, he still remembers. And he's going to do it. There are things that I have promised my children that I haven't been able to do at the time, but I knew I was going to get it done. I was going to fulfill my promise. It's just going to take me some time. If I say I'm going to take y'all to Disney World, okay, Daddy, when? Well, don't worry about when, but it's going to happen. In other words, I'm going to stack my money, and then once the time comes, I'm going to let them know, hey, we're going to do it. I remember telling my son, hey, we're going to try to go to a Pacer game sometime in the near future if I can. I took him to some game when they was young, but they didn't really remember. I said, we're going to go again. Didn't know when we was going to be able to go. And then just the end of last year, actually the last day of last year, we went to a Pacer game, and I got a chance to take him again on his birthday. I didn't know when, but I knew I was going to do it, and I was going to fulfill the promise. And here's the thing. If I, as an earthly father, will fulfill my promises, what about a heavenly father who remembers all his word? Everything he's ever promised you, he remembers. And if I was Mabel Woods, I'd say it again. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I trust God, but God has not forgotten. The scripture says, for a thousand generations, he will remember his covenant. I'm only 48 years old, and a generation, most people think a generation is only 40 years. So I've only been in one generation in 8 years. The Bible says he remembers a thousand generations. That means 40,000 years he hasn't forgot. So the reason why I'm telling you don't forget him, because he won't forget you. And so if you forget him, all you're doing is hurting yourself, because he won't forget you. He knows who you are. All right, as we go to the conclusion, this is what we're going to do. We're just going to make a quick recap. And here's the recap. The wealth, the ways, the works, the wonders, the words. The wealth, the ways, the works, the wonders, the words. One last time. The wealth, remember him in your wealth. The ways, when you've had bad, rebellious ways, remember he's forgotten those. So remember his ways. Remember his works and his wonders. And ultimately, remember his words that have been spoken over you. And as we go, and as we get ready to go, I'm going to speak some words over you. You are healed. You are blessed. You are favored. You are prosperous. You are satisfied. The enemy of your life is defeated. You are victorious. I'm speaking words over your life. And there's an old saying that says, whatever you put after I am is important, because he is the I am that I am. Lately, I've been working a lot, and so I've been saying, man, I'm tired. Man, I'm tired. And the Lord's correcting me. Don't just keep saying you're tired. Put something else there. I am prosperous. I am what God says I am. I am wealthy. I am good looking. I am healthy. I am the right side. Whatever you put after I am is important. So if you keep saying I am stupid, I am dumb, I am nobody, all you're doing is hurting yourself. But don't forget the word of God and declare what God has said over your life. All right, let's rise to our feet, and we're going to go into a confession. Here's the confession. I'll read it once, and then we'll do it together. Father God, help us to always remember you Let us never forget all you've done so you can continue to do even more. Amen. Before we say it, let me just make that point that if we want him to do more, we can't forget what he's already done. All right, repeat after me. Father God, help us to always remember you. Let us never forget all you've done, so you can continue to do even more. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, we come to you on this Memorial Day weekend, God, and as we in memoriam remember the fallen soldiers and remember our loved ones, God, let us take this mindset on into the future that we will not forget you. We will remember you. We will make you part of our members. We will put you in the forefront of our mind because at the end of the day, you have been good to us through the ups and the downs. You've been good to us through the struggles and through the stresses. You've been good to us and you plan to do even more for us, even more in us and even more through us and even more by us. And because of that, we remember you forevermore in Jesus' name. And let everybody say amen and amen. God bless you. Have a great, wonderful, marvelous week. If you need prayer, let the prayer warriors pray for you. You're dismissed.